Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the multitude of people that are here today, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you open our hearts, allow our minds to understand and discern your message. And Lord, show us how to apply this message into our life for an everyday, wonderful, beautiful life in your presence. Lord, show us exactly what you want us to do. Open doors for us to talk to the people of our community about you. Allow us to share your gospel and your message to as many people as we can get in front of. Lord, we thank you each and every day for guiding us, for loving us, and protecting us. And Lord, I ask that you continue those protections, continue that guidance, because we can't do this on our own. We need you to be there for us and to guide us through this life. And Lord, just again, open up our hearts and minds and allow us to take in your word and your message to the fullest of what you want us to take it in as. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's worship our Lord and Savior.
Luke 2:11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Oh,
Luke 2, verses 16 and 17. The shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Last week, we started the Advent season. We looked at Elizabeth's role in Jesus' birth. We noticed that Elizabeth was the very first person to actually identify Jesus as the Savior and the Messiah. Now, we understand this is her perspective on Jesus, because Scripture clearly states in Luke chapter 1, verses 43 and then 45, and says in verse 43, "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then in verse 45, she says, "Blessed is she," meaning Mary, "who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." We see the truth of the hope that the Messiah, Jesus, as the Jewish people have been told, was coming, but is now finally here. Jesus' birth brought hope not only to Elizabeth, but to all people. What does hope provide to all of us, all of humanity? What is it? The title of today's message is In Peace. And we will be examining the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James today. Today we are going to explore the moment when the entire world learned that the Messiah was on his way. And as we start today's message, our story, we need to understand what is actually happening at this moment. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And it starts off, and she, meaning Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there were no room in the inn. In the first seven verses of Luke chapter 2, we are seeing the birth of Jesus. Now, some scholars have suggested that this event happened, that this particular event we're going to be covering happened at the same time as the story, that Jesus' birth and what we're going to cover simultaneously. Now, I disagree. I believe that we are about to see an event that occurred shortly after verse 7. Picture verse 7 in your mind. At that very moment, with Jesus in the manger, surrounded by Mary and Joseph, who are gazing at him lovingly. And then imagine the camera is just zooming out into the sky. And we're seeing the surrounding area with the stable in the center. And then picture in your mind a fire off in the distance. And that camera is zooming in on that fire. Are you picturing this right now? Please stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to continue in verse 8 to verse 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You may be seated. I'm going to cover the remainder of today's verses throughout the entire message, so I wasn't going to have you stand for the rest of what's going to happen. You're welcome. No. I'm kidding. But I am going to pause right here. Okay, this is an absolutely wild moment. If you're picturing this, you're realizing that this is crazy that's happening. Now, I know some of you are used to hearing about the Advent stories throughout the years, but have you really ever thought about the moment that the shepherds are brought into the story? You got to understand, we see that that these are temple shepherds outside of Bethlehem, tending to the sacrificial sheep for the upcoming Sabbath. And they are ending their day by sitting by the fire, probably swapping stories, having dinner, whatever the case is. And if any of you have ever gone camping, this would be the moment when you are going to have conversations with your family or your friends about anything that's going on. We also see, and we need to examine who these shepherds were. You see, the general Jewish public at that time did not see being a shepherd as a very honorable or important position in life. They were pretty low on the totem pole. Their social status was not high in the slightest. In today's culture, they would be considered a blue-collar worker of the lowest form. Now, I can tell you from personal experience with the general public of this nation My blue-collar job that I held for 30 years was very much looked down upon. I was hated. I was called nasty names, and there was all sorts of other things that occurred on a daily basis. I had to go through that, and it's fine. It was no big deal, because at that time, I hated the public anyways. I can fully relate to and understand what the shepherd's situation was, because it actually resembled my blue-collar job. Being a shepherd is an absolutely important job of that era, but it was not a respected role in the community. Just like truck driving, it is absolutely necessary for truck drivers. Nobody would ever own anything in this nation if it wasn't for a truck driver, but they are disrespected on a daily basis. Shepherds also had to have their downtime, especially at night. But these particular shepherds were what we would call seasonally employed. During what would typically be a shepherd's downtime, it became the most, well, probably the second most crucial moment right after the most significant event in human history, and that is the birth of Christ. This absolute rare event features an angel appearing to these men. Now, although Scripture does not specify who that angel is, I firmly believe it was Gabriel. The angel who appears before Zacharias and Mary and Joseph to announce the conceptions of their children. Gabriel is known for announcing important events. He is known for making the public aware. Why wouldn't it be Gabriel to make this announcement? They just finished a long day outside of Bethlehem, tending to the sheep and making sure that everything is staying safe. And now they're just sitting by the fire, chilling, telling each other stories. And then all of a sudden, a celestial being suddenly just appears before them. Go back to verse number 9 of our text. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This is precisely the same reaction that everyone has when they encounter angels. Fear, but also in awe. Recognizing this helps us understand the profound holiness of this moment. It invites us to approach God with reverence and faith, trusting in His divine plan for salvation. And probably because angels don't look like these cute little cherubs that we all have grown up for them to look like. They don't look like GQ models with flowing blonde hair. They're not models. Their appearance is extremely terrifying to look upon in their natural state. Read Isaiah chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter 10, and you will be able to picture through those two areas of what an angel looks like, and it is terrifying. Not only are they in the presence of a heavenly angel, but they are also surrounded by what is described as the glory of the Lord. What is that? Scripture does not provide context for what this truly means. However, in my opinion, the glory is an intense light that the Lord is just enveloping the entire area where no shadows can exist in. A light that is surrounding and is so bright around these shepherds. It's like brighter than daytime at night, which can inspire awe on that alone. It'll give you a sense of majesty of God's presence. They don't know what's happening, though. At one moment, it's dark as can be. The next second, it's bright as can be. The shift from complete darkness, except for that fire, to a stunning, unnatural light covering everything is got to be frightening. And what does that angel say to them? Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Not only are these shepherds experiencing the wildest day of their entire life, but they are also having an angelic encounter. The message that they are receiving is one that every Jewish person has long anticipated. 400 years have gone by since the prophet Malachi had said that life is hard and that we still are waiting for Messiah. 6 centuries have passed since Israel's last had a king on the throne. And even then, things weren't very good. Even earlier, the Psalms of David and numerous other prophecies foretold the coming of Messiah. And even in the writings of Moses, in the first 5 books of the Torah, we see hints of the Messiah who will come and set things right. They've been waiting for this news their entire lives about the Messiah for centuries. And now, he's here. These shepherds worked all day, keep tending to their sheep. Now they are hearing the most incredible news that every Israelite has been waiting centuries to hear. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Not only for the people of Israel, but for all people. We are witnessing this news being delivered, something anticipated for ever. And it all comes down to this very moment, to shepherds in the field. There's a question that is just aching to be asked. Why is this excellent news being given to shepherds? An angel appears and delivers the absolute most incredible news to all of humanity. And this message is given to shepherds. It's given to a group of what is considered low-level, blue-collar workers that society doesn't even care about, let alone listen to. How different would this story have been if that angel would have appeared in front of everybody in Bethlehem? A beacon of light shining down from heaven and illuminating the entire existence of that town with the stable, with that manger in the center. The angel announcing to everyone up in the sky, here is your Messiah. You're welcome. What if that angel announced this at the temple in Jerusalem, revealing himself to the entire Sanhedrin, all of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, every one of them? How different would it have been? Your Messiah has been born. He is in Bethlehem right now. I'll take you to him, but you got to take good care of him. How different would things have been? But that's not where the angel came. That's not who he gave this good news for all of humanity. He went to shepherds. And so the most significant question that has to be asked, why these shepherds? There's 2 reasons why field shepherds were selected. Reason number one, looking at Ezekiel chapter 34, it says that at some point God will become fed up with the shepherds of Israel, not shepherds in Israel. Ezekiel speaks to the religious leaders of Israel, saying that God will send the true shepherd to his people. In other words, God himself is going to come down and he is going to personally care for his people. Now, in my opinion, again, God is revealing to the world that the religious leaders of that time are messing things up. They're not getting it right. And so God has to go, you got to do things right. You got to do it yourself. He's coming down here to the world. He's going to make things right because we're messing it up. And trust me, we're humans. We're going to mess things up. And so God doesn't send this message to those shepherds. It doesn't go to the spiritual elite. They have not properly shepherded his people. So why would it? You see, the good shepherd is arriving on earth. And that good news is being shared with the shepherds in the fields. The second reason is we have to be looking at this story of the shepherds and also have it highlight the entire ministry of Christ. The King of Kings is being born. He's being placed in a manger inside of a stable. This is not something that you would typically put a newborn baby in. In the stable, that's where all the animals are kept. The mangers, that's where you keep the food or the water. It's not very sanitized, not very clean. But this is bringing the humility of Christ into the fold. Remember, this feeding trough, you wouldn't think that the King of Kings would be placed inside of, but he is. Jesus comes into this world humbly, living his life and demonstrating his ministry with humility. That is what we need to be doing, following that, bringing humility into our life. And then Jesus has also come into this world and he is focusing his ministry on the gentle and the lowly of society. And it's starting with the lowly shepherds, those who are seen to be beneath the elites of this world. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus comes into this world for all of humanity. He didn't just come for the elites. He didn't just come for the Jewish nation. Not for those in high economic status, nor the upper ranks of the religious leaders. He came for everybody. He entered this world as a humbled and gentle person, just like those who are humble and gentle in their life. If all of that was not enough, then you have an angel and the glory of the Lord appearing before the shepherds, and they are delivering the most anticipated message in all of human existence. And when the angel is finished speaking, look at verse 13 of our text. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' I have attended conferences before with thousands of people that were there, praising and worshiping God, all of us together. It is an absolutely powerful thing to see. It is the most powerful experience I think I have ever had." I believe that is what these shepherds are experiencing at that moment. Thousands of heavenly hosts singing God's praises at the same time. Could you imagine? I mean, can you even imagine how awesome that would be? They're looking at thousands. They're looking at God's army. They're not preparing for war, though. They're praising God in worship, declaring and singing their praises. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace for those whom he is pleased with." God himself has brought peace to this earth to give us peace to those he is pleased with. In other words, peace only comes to those who have accepted Messiah, who entered into this world. That is how peace is established. Look at verse 15 of our text. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." That was the first thing that the shepherds said? I don't think that would have been mine. I think mine would have been, "Dude, what just happened?" But this final part was simply the recognition and the confirmation. Remember, the angel told them that you will find the Messiah lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Verse 16 of our text. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They ran as fast as their legs could possibly carry them. Forget the sheep. They're on their own now. I'm going to the Messiah. Verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They immediately went to verify what this angel had just told them was true. Huh? Why would you need to verify what an angel's telling you? Or are you going to verify that you didn't hallucinate something? But they came to their Messiah. These men are absolutely confused on what's going on and still probably a little scared. And I guarantee you they were overwhelmed. But they were overwhelmed with joy. See, they're going to be the first people outside of the immediate family of Christ to see the Messiah in person. They run to Bethlehem, which might have been a little crowded. I don't know what time of day or night it was. They're seen running from stable to stable throughout the town, trying to figure out, okay, where is Messiah? While the residents might be looking at him going, "Dude, you're crazy," whatever. Until they finally find that stable with a mother, a father, and a baby swaddled and lying in a manger. What do you think their first expectation was? How often do we encounter something miraculous that happens, but instantly start doubting it? Did the shepherds run to find this sign? Were they asking, is he going to be there? Did the Messiah actually come? Are we really going to meet him? What does this imply? Showing up and finding a baby in a manger is not a coincidence. And in case you're wondering, I firmly don't believe in coincidences. I firmly believe every coincidence is fabricated to get an end result. Mangers are not something that you would ever put a baby into. And yet here they find a baby in one. And then after they see the baby Messiah, then they are going to tell everybody that they had just seen the Christ. They're going to tell everyone, "Hey, we've been waiting for this person. Here he is. The angel told us that he is the Christ. This baby is the one that we have all been waiting for." What would happen in our society if somebody came up to us and said, "Hey, an angel told me blank, blank, dot, dot, dot"? We'd be like, "Whatever." I think that's what happened. I think society decided these guys are nutcases, which is why they didn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah years later. It never caught on. But this moment cannot be downplayed. The declaration of who Jesus is as he is entering into this world is absolutely incredible. What I want us to recognize is that as Jesus entered into this world, and as this declaration is being made about him, there is a good news of great joy that will be for all people, even today. All people, because a Savior has been born to you. A Savior who is the Christ, who is the Lord, and who is the only Messiah. Your only response should be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace for those whom God is pleased with. Peace finally has entered into this world because Jesus has come into this world. Only through Jesus can anyone, any person in all of humanity ever be able to find true peace in their life. Peace does not exist outside of Christ. Ask me how I know, because I've lived a lifetime without Christ, and I never had peace. Because of Jesus entering into this world, he lived a perfect life. He became our sacrifice. He died the death that we deserve. He died a death of the guilty, but he was innocent. We get to have peace with God because of Jesus. This was not always true. There was a time when humanity was at odds with God before Jesus. There's been times that we have been at odds with God after Jesus, before we accept him. Here's the truth about the good news, though. We no longer have to be the enemies of God. And you are an enemy of God if you have not accepted his son. Now, I have read the Bible numerous times. And I'm going to just say it does not end well for the Creator's enemies. But because of what Jesus has done, he says that you can have peace. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, peace. And you will find rest for your souls. Peace. For my yoke is easy. Peace. My burden is light. Peace. We have received a spirit of adoption, not fear. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, not an enemy. We have peace with God. We are members of God's family. That should never be overlooked. The peace that comes with that alone is absolutely overwhelming. That peace that will come to those who have a relationship with Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. That does not mean that life is going to be easy. Trust me, I wish that was true. But we still must confront the disasters, those events in this world. We still have to face our own mistakes and our failures. We still have to be members of a disastrous world that is very chaotic and most certainly is not at peace with anything. Have you seen the news lately? Despite being amidst all of that, those who have a genuine, honest relationship with Christ, the Savior, can have peace every single moment of every single day amid all this chaos. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because we have peace with God, we are brought into his family, and he cares for us. We know that we don't need to worry about anything because our Father will protect us. Just like as a father, I protect my son. God does the same for us daily. We are currently in the holiday season, and as humans, we tend to worry a lot during this time of year. We worry about budgets. We worry about relationships with friends, with family. We worry about the state of the world. We worry about all kinds of things. This season is not meant for you to worry about anything. Knock it off. Stop it. This season is here to bring you peace. No matter what is happening around you, we have a God who loves and cares for us so deeply that He sent His Son into this chaotic world for us so that we could have peace. So why don't you have peace? Knowing Christ personally brings genuine peace. There's a peace that comes from Christ alone. There's a peace that carries us through our daily lives, our daily chaos. Jesus died in exchange for our lives so that we can have peace in it. And for us to experience peace, we must surrender our very lives to Him completely. Peace only comes to us because of that decision that we make to accept Christ as our Lord, as our boss. Now, we're at that point telling Him, okay, God, I'm going to put You at the forefront of my life. I'm going to let You make my decisions for me. I'm going to give You control of my life and choose to live Your way instead of my way, because trust me, my way is not the right way. There's a deep peace that comes from that alone. Because I struggle to lead my life well, I don't need to worry about it when He is in control. God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is completely good. And He will direct your path correctly. When I give Him control, complete control of my life, trust me, things go a lot smoother. All I have to do is just trust Him. Peace only comes from Jesus Christ alone. In conclusion, the angels shared with the world how to live in peace by saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace for those whom He is pleased with." With the birth of Jesus, peace came to earth for the very first time. That is deserving of all praise, all worship to the Almighty Creator of this world. I have lived an entire life full of turmoil, and I never want to experience that again. I never want you to go through your own version of that turmoil again. I don't want to live a life filled with worries about bills, about any kind of relationships, not even school, but especially not about my eternity. All I want is peace in my life, in my family's life, in my friends' life. And I have that because I have a relationship with Jesus. You also can find that peace. And you can be in peace daily. But you have to have a genuine relationship with the only shepherd of this world, and that is Jesus Christ. And it has to be today. Now, our musicians are going to play one more song. Now is that time to give your life to God, to enter into a relationship with His Son, Jesus. God desires for you to have peace in your life. Jesus isn't the Prince of Chaos. He is the Prince of Peace. And if you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus fully into your life, and you need true peace in your life, in your family's life, come forward. Give your life to Christ. I am urging you right now to trust in Jesus with your life today. It's a moment where that trust, you'll never regret giving up. Let's pray together that God grants you that peace because you have finally trusted in Him. And then you can finally experience that peace that you have been searching your entire life for. And how do you do that? Scripture tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord and we believe, fully believe that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's finally telling God, all right, I'm going to live this life your way. And that I believe in who your son is and the power that he has. And I get it. It's tough to trust somebody with your entire life. I've been through it. I've been disappointed because of it. I understand how difficult it can be. But I can tell you this, when you trust in Jesus with your life, you will never regret that decision. You will experience genuine peace. And if you are here today, I need you to know Jesus. I need you to be trusting in him with your entire life. Something in your life is causing you to have a need for peace. Come forward. Let's pray together, or you can pray by yourself. Let's pray that God removes this issue, whatever it is, that grants you that peace that you're seeking. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What are you waiting for? Come to him now. He will give you that rest. It's his peace to be giving, and he brings it to you right now. He wants you to find peace. Come forward and pray with somebody. Pray at his altar by yourself. It doesn't matter. Just come up and do it. Just pray to God for that peace that you need in your life so that God can take your burden away from you. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.
Please stand as we sing our final song. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship.
Hey-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.